Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
SansPants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched The Orphanage. The Orphanage is a 2007 Spanish gothic supernatural horror film and the debut feature of Spanish filmmaker J.A. Bayona. It follows Laura, who, along with her adopted son Simon and husband Carlos, move back into the orphanage where she was raised to reopen it as a centre for disabled children. However, Simon soon starts to communicate with an invisible friend and after an argument with Laura goes missing. Months later, Laura finds the presence of other people in the house and invites a team of parapsychologists to help find her son and try to rescue him from the ghosts that haunt the orphanage.
I just want to tip my warm beanie to J.A., the director. Yeah. I really like him.
Yep.
This is powerful, but he did another one called The Impossible, which I fucking love.
Is that about the tsunami?
Yeah, it'll rip your fucking heart out.
Yeah.
Got tears out of this boy's eyes. And then I think he's since done something in the Jurassic World franchise, I think.
Oh, did he do?
I think he did the most recent one, yeah. Because when I saw that he was attached, I was like, oh, man, I wonder if he's going to go hard on the heart. It kind of didn't. It was a bit of a studio vehicle, but yeah. He's made some good shit. I really like it. And what he did here is good, and I hate that we watched it. Tom and I had seen it before years ago.
Yes.
I'd stored parts of it in my egg brain.
Yeah.
There were one specific child game that I very much remembered.
Mm. You mean 1, 2, 3, knock on the wall?
Yep. Hate it with all my heart. One of the worst things we've had to experience on this show.
See, I remembered it vividly, and I know that there's like scary elements to it, and it's unsettling and unnerving, but because I remembered how it ends, I always watch this movie through the lens of this is a fairy tale. Yeah. It's very much like, and it's produced by Del Toro, but it's very much in the similar vein to Crimson Peak in that it is a story it's a love story with ghosts.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas this is a fairy tale with ghosts. Mm. It's basically like a story of it's a retelling of Peter Pan.
Yeah,
effectively.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking good because of it. Like, it sucks you in, the characters are interesting, the premise is interesting, it is beautifully shot.
Mm.
And it's just such a simple, beautiful story where, although there is tragedy peppered throughout it, I think it ends happily. Like, it ends on a beat of hope and a beat of happiness in that, look, these awful things have happened, but they're okay.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
A lot of people
are dead.
I agree because as you said, both of you watched it. I watched it with you on this rewatch because we're doing another Scaredy Boys retreat. And as always, whenever you two have watched a movie, and the little glances, the little whispers, like the little, oh, I hasn't even got to the bit yet.
Oh, yeah. When you were fucking, like, Jesus is killing me. And I'm like, damn, it's not even in first gear.
Yeah.
The little stolen winks.
I had a horrible time.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We did not help you.
Yeah.
In my heart, I wanted to, but then I'm also a cheeky motherfucker.
You said, oh, pull your chair close to mine so I can give you comfort. And then you gave me nothing but discomfort for the whole fucking movie.
I'm so sorry.
Well, I did learn my lesson, though. And I feel like I was better behaved watching this than when we watched The Woman in Black.
Oh, you're
the
last time
we probably watched a movie that.
Yeah, you were bad because I didn't remember really anything of that.
No.
Because I had legitimately stored it in my egg
brain. Yeah.
But
yeah, so my viewing of this was tortured for all those reasons.
Yeah.
And I was ready to be like, I can appreciate this movie, but I don't know if I love it. And then that ending happened. And I was like, no, I'm not ready to buy in. My heart doesn't want to get in.
Yeah.
And then it did.
It held
in there long enough that
Peter Pan thing really hit home.
Her telling the story to all of them and you realizing even Sackface is just a kid.
Yeah.
just a kid. So like then I'm like, no, they're not malevolent.
No.
They're not evil.
They're just lonely.
They're just lonely.
They're just lost boys.
Yeah.
Yep. They need a Wendy. They need a mum. They need a family. Because they're all orphans.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing is that the whole film is about these people building their own family. She is adopted. Right. She builds her own family by adopting Simon. Then she wants to build a house so that she can have other people there. And it's not like, and she says very early on that social worker who we'll get to comes around and is like, that's a lot of work. She's like, oh no, we only want like 5 or 6 kids to look after. So it's about building a family, a small family to look after and having those people. And she gets what she wants and what she needs in that she gets a family, her original family, effectively to look after. Those kids that she grew up with and she loved and cared for. And she gets to spend forever with them.
Forever.
Yep. Wendy gets to go back. That's the nice thing is that there's that whole bit, that conversation that Simon has where he's like, if you die, you get older and Wendy can't go back. Why can't Wendy go back? But Peter Pan brings back Wendy's daughter and that doesn't make any sense. And she's like, no, well, because you get too old and you can't go back. But the film says, well, no, you can.
They found a
loophole. There's a cost, but you can.
Yeah. As well as for that scene where it lays the groundwork of like, oh, I'm not going to get old. I'm going to stay young like my new friends.
Yeah.
Yep.
Creepy as fuck.
Oh.
Looking at your thing, Tom, of looking at it through the lens of a fairy tale is really nice, especially on a rewatch. But I know, Damo, at the time you said, well, I'm never going to rewatch it. Do you think you will, though?
Part of me wants to because I know I'll actually appreciate it more on the rewatch. Like, I actually left with, I think I gave it 4 or 4.5, something like that, stars on Letterboxd. But I do think if I rewatched it, it might get even higher.
Yeah.
Because I can rewatch it with that mentality.
And you're not afraid of them because you know that they're not.
That's it. I think by the end, because I was like, oh, no, no one's really a bad guy other than that social work guy.
She does.
And she dies, yeah.
Horrifically and gets a terrifying, rude scene.
Del Toro-esque scene.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, he was there that day on set.
Yeah.
He was like, I will direct for one day and it's fuck like, your life up.
He's like, oh, you're going to mangle a face? I mean, count Del Toro in. Yeah. But no, look, it was really well structured. Like you talked about the 1, 2, 3, knock on the wall. That... The opening scene with that is just like, oh, we're setting the tone. We see these young girls. They're entering from the side slowly. And it's like, cool, it's building a creepy vibe. I literally did not think about it any more beyond that. I'm just like, oh, that's a good opener. It's a bit creepy, but it's also just kids playing a game. Right up until she realizes what she needs to do. She needs to elevate. Like even her going around trying to set the scene to be like back in the old days when she was at the orphanage was really good. Like the logic of it's great. And then she, to the point where she just snaps and she's like, what more do you need me to do?
Yeah.
And then she thinks, okay, you want to play a game? We'll play a game. And then I hadn't clicked yet. She's standing next to the wall. And then all of a sudden it clicked and it was awesome for storytelling. It was horrible for someone who was already very scared that now we are actually going to see these ghosts. And again, because it even did that same recreation of that first scene where they're coming in slowly and we're on her where she knocks and then she turns and we look. Oh, it's brutal.
It's the camera work there as well. It's just because it's not like a quick little whip pan or anything.
It's slow crawl.
It's slow back. I think it does it twice and nothing happens.
Yeah.
And then she goes to give up.
Maybe even three. Like it really drags and you're like, fuck you.
By the third one, she turns around and the doors are open.
Yes. Yeah.
And then on the fourth one, there's Victor.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking back, it's got a lot of stuff that I like. Like the fairy tale stuff, that's well up my alley. The mystery of it all is actually quite like I love
unpacking what happened to
The Jill storylines and figuring out the history and all that sort of stuff. Like there is actually a lot that I like. I was just too scared.
Tom tried to buddy you up in that first scene. I don't know if you noticed, but Tom was like, gee, that's a creepy game.
Oh, did you? No, I was already off the wall. Yeah. Like I was too done already.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some really nice stuff, but there's also like Sackface is fucking terrifying.
Oh, it's awful.
It's just the worst mask in the world.
Yeah.
Don't put that on a fucking child. Mm.
I don't understand why that was the mask they chose because I get them going, oh, look, he's disfigured. We'll cover his face.
Now, my theory is he made it himself.
Right. But he's made a face. He's made a mask as disfigured as his own face.
I'm with you on the he made it because that's the only way you let a kid keep that mask.
Right.
It's like, okay, that's his little thing. He wants to do that.
Yeah, he doesn't want to show people his face.
Yeah.
So he puts the mask on.
That's a shocker.
It's genuinely terrifying. Yeah. There is no, like, you could be in broad daylight with that mask and it would still chill me to my core.
I'd shoot you in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like, ghost kid, bang, and then go, oh, no, they're good.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a mask. And like, well, even when they had the party and everyone's wearing masks, and I get why they did that.
It's clever.
Sackface can sneak around for a little bit and no one's the wiser. But pretty much all the masks they had were pretty creepy.
Like, I don't like the pig one. People wearing pig man masks.
Yeah.
None
give
of that,
me from
please.
Some fucking Spider-Man and Hulk masks yeah, over here. I don't need that on. Shit.
Let's bring the MCU up in there. This was pre-MCU.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
A scarier time.
It's insane that you go, this movie came out before Marvel movies existed.
Mm. Yeah.
Like it's, and they've just been around for so far.
Yeah, I think it came out the year before the first Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still Spider-Man. Sam Raimi Spider-Man was out there.
That's true.
Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the kids loved Ang Lee's Hulk.
Straight.
My brother loved that movie.
Yeah. X-Men movies. Kid could have worn a really tight leather jacket.
Yeah. And some mutton chops.
Yep.
Fuck. Stuck knives through the knuckles.
Yeah, that's a choice. That sack.
Yeah.
That is real. And there's been a lot of horror masks. That's an all-timer.
Absolutely.
Especially because it's a kid too.
Yeah.
Kid makes it worse.
Yeah.
As definitely. Well as the little orphanage outfit underneath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible. Just.
Yeah. And that fucking scarecrow. None of that.
Oh, yeah. The dapper scarecrow. Yeah.
Well, my theory is too that the kid's made this. That's why because the mask looks like the scarecrow head.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
I reckon he's made that.
He's trying to look like his hero, the scarecrow.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. These kids, they're in a bad way.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, and the movie was really well done. Like, we talked about this while we were watching it. It didn't over-dramatize anything. Like, and there was so many... It was quite fast-paced in a lot of ways. Like, it felt... Didn't feel too fast-paced, but the time jump of 6 months is huge.
Yeah.
It shocked me too. It's perfect. It's very good. Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think you could tell. Like, it was still a couple of weeks. I don't think you had the desperation from Lara.
Mm.
When you hit that six-month mark, their relationship starting to fracture a bit. And at that point... been 6 months and the cops haven't been able to do anything for them. So at that point, naturally, she's going to turn to psychics. And also at that point, it's been long enough that because we know he has to take medication every day or he'll die because he's HIV positive.
Yep.
That whole thing where like, if it's been 6 months, he's probably not alive.
He has
but
to be
dead.
But if
it's a couple of weeks, he could still be.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah.
But it's heartbreaking how much she believes, no, he's alive.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just that little bit, which is in that group support thing.
Yeah, it's that line where she's like, no, none of you understand.
Yeah,
it's like, well, they're just telling you their experiences and you're just like so blind to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That other woman acting the fucking roof down.
Yes.
There's actually terrific performances by nearly everyone in this movie.
Incredible cast. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Very, very creepy. Benita. Ugh.
She's creepy as shit.
Big time. It's the glasses, I think.
Mm. The glasses and the...
She's got a little hood up.
And the mannerism. She did nail the mannerisms.
Yeah, she's got some sort of rat cunning. She's moving slow. And
Is the assumption that she's come to the house because she's heard that Lara's reopening it, so she wants to hide the fact that she killed a bunch of children.
Killed five children, yeah.
Or is it that she is coming back to kill her or like to ruin her life? Or
Does she know that that is the girl?
No, it's just to cover her tracks because she got the shovel to open that door. Right.
That's the reason she comes in is because she hides then.
Yeah. So she's just trying to cover her tracks. But very effective as a story. Like I said, if I wasn't so scared, I would have actually had a much better time, unsurprisingly. But post clarification of the fear is drained out of me, I can be like, this is a very good movie.
It's a very fucking good
definitely.
Movie.
Yeah.
It rips. The bits where... Like before you, like you know something creepy's coming because obviously you're watching a horror film.
Mm.
But like because he's got imaginary friends
mm.
and he talks about them a lot, and he's got like you know that he's a bit of a different kid and all these kind of stuff. And the dad's like, oh, he's got more imaginary friends. And then just when he's at the cave and he's talking to someone, you are chilled because you're like, what if it's someone real?
Yep.
And then you're like, oh no, he's a kid. He's got imaginary friends. But there's that shot of her panning up and you see the footprints.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, he was talking to someone, and then. The great scene of him like dropping the shells so my friend can find them. They're like, oh, yeah, an imaginary friend. And then she gets up the next morning and there's just all the shells piled up.
That was real Blair Witch vibes.
Yeah. And you're like, that's the thing. You're like, you're already well and truly bought in at that point. Like, that's so early in the game.
Yeah.
I'm already scared. I'm already buying into disaster is imminent.
Yep.
And then also, like, even just the way they... So, like, treasure hunt.
Yep.
I love a treasure hunt. I think it's the best. It's so much fun. It's adorable. They made it sinister. Like, they made it sinister so easily, even though the kid is having a great time. And then even them digging through the sand in the rain and the close-up of the globs of sand, like, they really do well to creepify what should just be a normally fun activity.
They took something you love and they made it wrong.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, they did. And then obviously then to bring that back as that's how she needs to find him.
Do you know what's heartbreaking about all of that is that they give her the clues, like, within 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if she'd followed the first clue within 24 hours, she'd have found her son.
It's fucking heartbreaking.
The whole story is definitely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you're like, there's no real villain, but it all could have been avoided.
That's where the hesitation to not maybe give this 5 stars is. because you just feel so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's...
And while it does have a big swing at the end, a big heart swing, and it's nice, it's still fucking heartbreaking.
Oh, it's yeah, absolutely horrible. Heartbreaking. But I for some reason about that bittersweetness of the fact that, yeah, she doesn't immediately go on the treasure hunt early.
Yeah.
Is framed later on when that psychic says that seeing isn't believing.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you believed in this treasure, if you believed your son early on without seeing them, and because, you know, you would believe, you'd know to go on the treasure hunt. So you would have tried to find the doll. You would have found the doll. You would have gone from the doll to the door.
Right.
And you would have then eventually rescued him within the time frame.
Yeah.
Because I think it's about 3 days, because she comes out of hospital, hears all the banging and
right,
all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Ah, it's fucked.
It does break me, though. Like, that's the thing. I think for me to really... This is where a rewatch would really help, because I almost need to mourn. I need to mourn this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, well, let's jump into where we scared. For me, big ol' yes.
Yep.
That's not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking heaps.
So, okay, well, let's talk about the rewatch factor then, because both of you guys, obviously, as you said, watched it before. Can you remember the scare factors on the first watch?
I was terrified.
Yeah.
Sack face, big time.
Yep.
And when she looks down the hallway, she's in the bathroom, sees sack face. That's one of the scariest moments. And then also the 1-2-3 game.
Yes.
It's a shocker.
Yeah.
They're the two biggies, I think, that stood out for me.
Yeah. Mm. There's just a general sense of unease throughout a lot of it too. Like when she finds the bones, the burnt remains.
Yeah. 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 That is so effective, because obviously, like, I don't know, we've seen other horror movies where people literally have to like go through gobbets of bodies. These are just burnt bodies, which shouldn't be as horrifying. Yeah. But I actually found myself really disgusted by
that. Oh, just
the way it's all
it's
over
on her face. Yeah. It's gross. And the Benita jump scare when she finds her out there.
Yes.
That's scary.
Yeah.
The whole thing, the dread, just throughout the whole thing. Sometimes we'll watch a movie that's not very well made and it's kind of predictable. So your guard's up, the jump scares are telegraphed.
Mm.
The first time I watched it, so on edge, because I just didn't really know what the hell they were going to do.
No.
And that's terrifying, really.
Yeah. Well, I also wanted to talk about the scene with the psychic.
Yeah.
Because that's
chilling.
Yeah.
Oof. And like, amazingly, like that, this is where, that's the kind of craft of horror that I really love, where you don't actually need to show anything and you can still be absolutely terrifying.
They don't show you a single ghost in that scene.
No, all we see is her walking around the house in, you know, slightly creepy, what's it called?
Night vision.
Night vision, that's it. That's it. That's literally all we see. And we hear some whispers and stuff like that. And your imagination does the rest, because the imagination is a powerful prick. He's going to terrify you every time.
It's the beat where she's coming down the corridor and you can hear them like crying out, saying, we're sick. And she's like, why don't you open the door? Open the door. And they're like, you want me to open the door? And then when the psychic opens the door and it does that great thing where it doesn't show you ghosts, it doesn't show you anyone else. It's just the green screen look of her face and she's horrified.
Yeah.
Whatever she's seeing. And she's going to the beds and she's like, I'm sorry. And you hear these like, the moaning and whining and crying of these children.
Yeah.
And the fact that then all of the other, like, paranormal investigators in the room are visibly shaken when this is happening.
Yeah.
And even the two who don't believe in the whole experiment, right. Pillar, the cop, and
her husband.
Carlos, the husband, just, it's fucking rattling.
Yeah. It really is.
Their lack of belief to the husband and the cop, I think it's just to mask their fear.
Because
you do see little reaction shots from them where they're freaked out.
Yeah.
So it's just their natural reaction is, no, that can't be real.
Yeah.
Like, it's always going to be scarier to show characters fear than to actually see what the monster is.
Yeah.
And this movie does it so good.
Yeah. As well as, it's also giving us this great exposition. Like, the whole, what happened in this house, we're getting so much of it. It never says, oh, wow, someone poisoned 5 children.
Yeah.
She's like, you're sick. Why would someone do this to you? And you're like, it's doing the great thing of giving you 2 + 2 and you're finding the answer of 4.
Yep.
Like, and so already you're like, oh, okay, someone's poisoned the children. You're already starting to put the pieces together because we've kind of been given enough.
You've been given enough about what happened to Thomas as well.
That's it. And so, it's very effective. Like, where you could have had someone sit and dialogue that story.
Yep.
Instead, you've got this terrifying scene, this psychic walking through the house, giving exposition.
Yeah.
But you were so engaged and so entrapped by it. Mm. Very, very effective.
Yeah.
And it even, like, that it lends the whole thing a level of authenticity too. It isn't just her losing her mind. It isn't just her grief. It's not. It's tangible. It's real. We've proved it. And there's even like there's rules. That whole thing where she explains the reason I can see the dead is the same reason your son can, because we're both close to death.
Yeah, yeah, great rule. You know, that's good.
You closer you are, the better you can see it.
Yeah.
So her logic of being like, right, you know, at the end of the film, in order to, you know, how far are you willing to go? Well, she's like, all right, I need to get close to being dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the way, but I need to kind of almost OD and just push myself to the limit.
Yeah.
And then I need to find, in order to find these guys and find my son.
Seeing the idea of seeing death when you're closer to death is actually fucking incredible. Like, as a concept, that's really cool.
And terrifying.
I've never seen that done before.
I can't think of it either.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It makes sense in that universe.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly right. Because it explains, well, if he's got HIV, that's why he's seeing them. And when she needs to, like you just said, she has to overdose. So, yeah, terrifying, but great. Like, as we've talked about before, love me some rules. Hate it as much as I love it. As well as even, like, I was just thinking they really lay the groundwork so perfectly. Because literally I said to you boys, when she's going through that cupboard to find the secret door to Thomas's little house.
Yep,
Thomas's house. And those big, clunky, big metal things. I'm like, oh, that's such a great little detail because, yeah, why wouldn't you have them in a cupboard? But it's also like they're heavy, they're falling. It's a bit like, that's a bit stressful.
Yep.
They just renovated
the house.
They just renovated the house. You're like, oh, that's a nice addition. And I had no clue as to the part they were actually playing in the story. I just thought, I commented, that's what a great addition.
Mm.
And then, of course, shortly after we realize, no, that's what's kept him trapped in there. He went into Thomas's house. These metal things fell against the door because she was looking for him, which makes it obviously even more heartbreaking.
All the banging in the walls that she thought were ghosts were just him.
Yep. Yeah. Like, and this is where that's where my mourning comes from, is that it's not that he died, because that had been foreshadowed so early.
Mm.
It's
the cruel way that it
she
happened.
She arguably played a part. And more, not even so much that, because I can't blame her in any way for that. But it's more just that it was so avoidable that really cuts me. But again, I think it's effective storytelling. I don't actually, like, it's, I was angry at the, well, not even angry. I was just sort of upset at the time.
It hurts.
But the more I'm sitting with it, the more I'm appreciating the story's
It's great craft.
Yeah.
Blame the dad too. He didn't hear any banging.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know.
Well, okay, well, let's jump to that. So, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
I mean, you could make an argument. Why didn't they hear? I mean, hers is explained by her thinking it's fucking ghosts and shit. But did the husband never hear any banging?
But I guess maybe it's an old house.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
House noises.
Yeah.
House noises. Yeah. And I don't know. I think once she gets all the information, she does a great job.
Yeah.
The only failing she has is she doesn't attempt the treasure hunt earlier.
Yeah.
But, I can understand that.
In that instance, she believes that Simon set up the treasure hunt because, oh, you overheard Mum and the social worker talking.
Yes.
That's why you've heard this information
telling you. And they did that really well too, because even when Dad and Mum is talking to him about it, do you have any questions, you know, and I think the dad has a line about, oh, you've obviously set this up because you weren't sure how to bring it up and this is how you chose. Like, and the kid never denies it, so why would they think differently?
Yeah.
So it's done really well. So I agree, like, I can't really fault, like, especially once she does start to put the pieces together, she goes as all in as you possibly can. Yep.
She commits.
Yep. Way more than I could. I was like, felt terrible for her with how far she was willing to go. Like, as soon as she pulled the dolls out and put them in the beds.
Yeah, and she's rearranging the house and the beds and everything. Yep. I was like, well, I wouldn't do that.
That was a great scene too, where the husband obviously is trying to get her to come with him. She goes, just two more days. And she's like smiling as she's waving and he's going.
But they both know that they're never going to say what. He has that bit where just before he drives away, he kind of looks.
And he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say anything because he's like, it's like he knows that she needs to do this.
Yeah.
It's a great acting choice.
Yeah.
And writing and everyone involved.
And then when he comes back and he's sort of grieving and he sees the St. Anthony necklace on the floor and he picks it up and he's like, he looks up and there's sort of doors open. They never tell you if he sees anyone or anything, but it's like knowing that she's taken it off because he said, when you find him, you can give it back to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's found him.
That's it. And like when we saw that final scene, I was like, oh, I don't know if I needed that because his character was so uninvolved for most of it. But again, the more I've sat with it, I'm like, it's nice, isn't it?
It does. It shows that, like, well, he's probably not going to kill himself to join them.
Right.
He's like, my wife and son are together.
And it also cements for us, the audience, that this is a positive ending as much as it's also tragic.
Yes. It takes something truly tragic and is like, there's not hope. That's kind of the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
It ends, it's a happy ending out of absolutely the fucking worst
thing
in the world.
I'm still amazed how they managed to make me feel positive at the end of this movie, because I was not feeling good a lot of the way through.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but they went off to Neverland.
They did, Neverland. That's, you know.
Benita's a bit of a dipshit.
The
social worker. Tomas's mum.
Yeah. Is it Benita? I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Benita
or
Beninia or something like that.
I mean, well, she's also a child murderer.
This is true. She's not all there. No. She's a fuckwit. She deserved what she got. That was a gruesome death. But just her... My initial thought was, why didn't you just burn that building down? But that wouldn't really destroy the skulls, I suppose.
Yeah. This isn't our protagonist, but here's some foolishness that I don't understand. Why was Tomas hidden away anyway? Just because he had a disfigured face. Like, I find that he was literally buried in the bowels of that orphanage. That just seems like, for an orphanage that seemed like a good orphanage, like the kids were having a pretty good time.
I don't know whether that's his choice.
Run by bad people.
Might have been her clearly.
Oh, see, that's what I'm actually putting it more on the mum, on Benita.
Yeah, I think so.
I think she is, she's really our villain at the heart of this film, where she's actually instigated most of it, but she's so in the background for the majority of it, you kind of forget that. Which, again, that's good. I think that's good storytelling, because normally you would have her as like a wicked witch sort of thing.
In terms of choices that Lara makes, I wouldn't have gone outside when I heard that noise. She wakes up. Yeah. The husband's like, oh, it's your turn again. And she goes outside without a torch, I think, without a weapon.
That's true. She does.
I wouldn't have done that.
She does tool back up when she goes back
she
out.
She does, but man, I would not have gone out there.
Yeah, yeah.
She sees the flapping door and she's like, oh, I think something's in there. That's when you go back in and go, all right, husband, or call the cops.
Time to step up.
And his reaction, he's kind of like, if she comes back, I'll call the cops. And it's like, there's a crazy lady in there with a shovel and just ran off.
Yeah.
And who has the details of your family.
Yeah.
Was he, days earlier pulling some kind of scams. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, but that's the problem.
You don't know. Shit from him.
Yeah, that is shit from him.
But
Carlos.
Consistent with the way they portray his character.
Yeah. And like, I guess he's probably the most foolish character in that he's, and like, it's that common thing in horror of faith versus science.
Yeah. When he doesn't believe, because that's when he gives her the St. Anthony necklace, you have that great bit where she's like, but you don't believe that. And he's like, yeah, but you do.
Yeah, which is perfect.
She commits fully and he's just never on board. To her, to him, she's just a woman becoming more and more unhinged.
Well, he's a doctor, so he approaches everything like a doctor.
It's faith versus science.
Yeah. And I like that he doesn't, there's never that beat of him going, you're going crazy, you need to stop.
But again, good writing and good acting, because you just know that's what
it's
he's
all
thinking.
There. The subtext is there all the way through.
And even when he wants to move the house, it's never, we need to move the house because you're losing your mind. He's like, we need to leave this house because I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, we need a break.
It's hard for me too.
Yeah. That's another thing I actually loved about their relationship. At no point, it was always us and we, and like, even though she was kind of going on this mission herself, whenever the two of them did, you're thinking, well, this is going to break them up, which, you know, it never actually really did. No. It kind of felt like it was getting close to it, but no, they both kind of, he kept talking about the future of them together, which I really liked.
Yep.
Because again, then it does also give some weight to that final shot of him being happy for her.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yep.
All right. How would we do in this situation?
Boys, we nail it.
Ooh, go on.
Tommy.
We believe straight away. Boys, the motto of this film is, seeing isn't believing.
Yeah.
It's believing is seeing. So you need to believe and then you see it. And Sean, what is that the motto of?
Shades of a classic film called Loch Ness.
What movie do you love more than life itself?
Loch Ness, Tom. Loch Ness.
You're on board straight a fucking way.
I really am.
You're Ted dancing all over that mansion.
I am. How much do I love my kid, though? Do I just pack my car and leave?
I reckon we'd find him. Because we would have, I feel like, the wherewithal to do that treasure hunt.
Question.
Yeah.
She lived there as a child.
Yep.
Didn't know about the little secret trapdoor?
No. Well, no one seemed to.
What about when she moves in, right, and buys that house and gets, like, building plans? Or we do assume it's just one of those, it's a secret, it's off the plans.
It's a super old building.
I think if, let's say collectively, this is our son.
All right.
He runs away. I mean, the complicating thing is she runs to the beach and thinks that she sees him.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I guess, you wouldn't search the house. My thinking is that if he's gone missing, we search the house head to toe.
Well, it's like she kind of, see the beats of her doing that.
She doesn't know to search in that room, though. That's
no, like it's
she
literally hidden behind shit. It's hidden behind wallpaper. There's a doorknob missing. So all you see is a tiny hole in the door. Like,
we are scaredy boys, though, right? And that's a big old haunted house. If I see a big old haunted house, I'm thinking there's trap doors and shit.
Yeah, I guess. But like, again, it's such a big house. Like you'd have to see that tiny hole in wallpaper and think, oh, trap door.
I don't think we'd find him straight away. But I think once the treasure hunt started, we'd be all over that.
Is the idea that he's hiding because they've had a fight.
Yeah.
So he's had a fight with us. If we were to come home and call out all over the house, he's scared. Oh, I don't want to let him know where he is. And then when he's ready to come out, we've locked him in.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yes, yeah, fuck.
As well as, like, for her, and I guess if this has to happen to us, she had that injury as well.
So, yeah, she was in hospital for how long?
Enough to get a foot cast.
Day or two, but she also, like, she's lost mobility, so we see her 6 months later.
The movie presents that he's still alive, though, when she comes home.
Yeah. Yes.
Because, yeah, I reckon he would die pretty
quickly. When she finds the doll, that's the night that he dies.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because he's banging on the walls and he falls off the stairs.
Right.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not even, yeah, he doesn't even die because of
starvation.
Medication or starvation. Yeah. He breaks his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hear banging on the walls. Do we think that could be our son trapped somewhere in the house or that's a ghost? That's both. Really
what we go with to. Ghost, I think.
But I think we'd follow the same train of thought of her as that's ghosts who have my son.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then we would go into the bedroom and see the doll on the bed. And well, I think I'd be like, fucking treasure hunt, boys. We get our wish, yeah. We get our son, we get our collective son back. What's a win for three men and a baby and a ghost. That's what this is.
Do we only win this if we save the boy?
I don't know if there is a win in this one. Yeah. Honestly, like, I can't see us saving him unless we do what you're saying, Tom. We do the treasure hunt early.
And then we get him before he breaks his neck. That
yeah. I guess that's our best chance of win. And there is the three of us. So we're
would
all
we go
in.
Treasure hunt?
I think we would.
I think I'll be having too good a time with treasure. I'll have to remind myself, oh, no, wait, this is for our missing son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if we get on board treasure hunt immediately, we win.
The only problem is, though, boys.
The kid survives until HIV kills him.
Well
he's on medication, sure.
He's got three dickhead dads. One forgotten prescription, and here we go again.
But, yeah, like, here's more my thing. Like, okay, cool, if we save him from this one, the ghost is still there. And, like the psychic says about the ghost, they're an echo repeating over and over again.
They're just lonely.
But we save him, then we cut our losses, we get out of that house.
I probably would. But then he'd be like, my friends, my ghost friends.
Yeah. They wouldn't follow us. They can't follow us.
No, I don't think they can follow us.
So we're fine. Get him in the car.
But see, I feel bad about abandoning them.
Yeah.
I reckon if we rescue him, say we do the treasure hunt, we get him out, and he's like, the ghosts are here, and we're like, we believe.
Hmm.
What do they need? And he's like, they're just so lonely.
They need Wendy. So one of us has to die.
Well, no. If the son can still see them, can he not be the Wendy?
He can be the Wendy for us.
I don't think he can be the Wendy.
He's a kid.
They need the Wendy. They need the grown-up, mate. They need one of us to die.
Are you volunteering?
I've nodded towards Tom.
Okay, you've given the old side eye.
You're going to push me down the stairs in that big
Tom,
house.
You love fairy tales, mate.
Not enough to die.
Well, you know.
Does he have to wear the sack on the head for this?
Jesus Christ.
What I was going to say was, boys, we'd be doing the treasure hunt, and then the problem is we wouldn't finish it because we'd get one fucking glimpse of sack face.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd all leave.
Yeah.
A kid's dead.
Sorry.
Those ghosts are abandoned. There's no Wendy's. There's too much sack face for
I
these
I think
boys.
It's tricky and tragic and unavoidable.
Yeah. They've created a knot we can't untie. Yeah,
unless, I guess the king of the stones, he has to be in hiding, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We can't just be good dads. And he never fights us and pushes us in the bathtub and slams our fingers in the door.
Yep.
Quite an effort to push three men and jam all our fingers in the door.
It's pretty big. Yeah.
Pretty good, yeah.
I would love to see that scene. That's classic Three Stooges right there.
The hospital didn't have three wheelchairs either.
No. We're just stacked on top of like Jenga.
We're one big tall man.
Yeah. like three kids in a coat pretending to be an adult.
That's what this movie needed a bit more of. A bit more goofiness, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Thomas.
And if you scary listeners would like to get into contact with us, suggest a movie to watch or say hi, you can email us at 3scaredvoice@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter at Scaredy Boys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Loch Ness, Tom. Loch Ness.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.